Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas, whatever your wildest dreams. If you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator. One site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.
KJ, appreciate the time. How are you?
No doubt, man. Anytime. Doing real good.
Well, let me start you off first, and we'll get into all the craziness from the game last night. You were the flag raiser and got honored by the 12th Man fans last night. That had to be awesome.
Yeah. That was freaking amazing, man. Just to have 70,000 people cheering and screaming, to bring that energy into the stadium, to have my teammates there, my wife was there. That was pretty special, man. I always look forward to when I was playing, who's raising the 12th man flag today? And I happened to be that guy last night, and it was pretty special.
How stunned were you last night? I know the Seahawks are your team, but I don't know of many people that were picking them to win that game last night that they were able to find the way to get the job done.
Oh, people were calling me crazy all last week because I had the Seahawks winning.
Really?
I truly believed in Coach Carroll, that he knows Russell Wilson very well. And I trusted that Coach Carroll will put together a phenomenal game plan to limit his explosiveness. And you saw he only scored one touchdown last night. And so he got in the red zone a few times. They created some fumbles. But I believe that Coach Carroll and the defensive coordinator put together a fantastic game plan to eliminate Russell Wilson being explosive. So hats off to them.
I also couldn't believe what we saw out of Geno Smith, especially in that first half. That was unbelievable.
People call me crazy for saying I believed in Geno too. I looked at Geno. I played him. He was our scout team quarterback my last few years there. And I just noticed, man, this man is really taking command of the huddle when he's scout team quarterback. Two-minute drills look great. He has a beautiful arm. And this is Geno's time. He learned from Russell, learned from Phillip Rivers. And the Seahawks said, hey, Geno, this is your team. This is your offense. Go out there and make it happen. And so really smart throws, scrambled out of the pocket, made some passes downfield. So he's off to a fantastic start.
KJ Wright here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. This was not second guessing. I think this was basically all of America last night. I could not believe what the Broncos were doing at the end of that game to go kick a 64-yard field goal when you have Russell Wilson fourth and five with a minute left and three timeouts. That was inconceivable to me, KJ.
That's very, very bad football. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And if I'm Russell, I'm like, hey, this is my team. This is my moment. I came back to Seattle. This is a very long field goal. Let me out there and get one more first down. I can get you 6 yards, get the field goal kicker a little bit closer to make this thing happen. And so very bad situation of football. I believe they're going to look back at that and be like, hey, guys, we're having the situation again. Russ, the ball is in your hands. But I was extremely confused in the stands. Like, why is the field goal kicker out there?
When you have a moment like that happen that early in the season and now people are going to be talking about how Nathaniel Hackett's not ready for the moment, how does he get those players to buy back in? Is there any concern there?
I mean, as coaches, you make mistakes. As players, you make mistakes. If the good players and good coaches learn from that, and they don't repeat it. And so this is something that Coach Hackett wishes he could have back. It's something that he probably practiced all offseason, but when he got into the moment, he just dropped the ball. And so it's important for that team in the midst of adversity. Hey, fellas, let's learn from this. Let's stick together. And when we do get back in the situation, we'll go get it right and, get a win next time.
KJ Wright here with us. Before the game last night, I said I thought Russell Wilson would get cheered before the game started. And then during the game, clearly he's the enemy. So you boo him because he's on the other team. Before the game, there was a lot of loud boos. Did that surprise you?
Yeah. Not at all. I believe that this narrative gotten out that Russell wanted to leave Seattle. And the fans are like, hey, Russell, what are you thinking? We've been loyal to you for 10 years. We you was our quarterback, and how would you even think about leaving us? And so they were upset. And they let it be known. They booed that man from warm-ups all the way to the last play. And so Russell, he said it didn't bother him. He said in his post-game interview, it didn't bother him. But I know that when you give your heart and, you know, to this city and they come back and they boo you, that's very hurtful. And so the fans let it be known where they stood.
Were you upset that Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle?
This is how I looked at it. I looked at it as like, if you and Coach Carroll cannot get on the same page, if you truly believe that you could take a franchise and be the man and just take him to the next level, you should want to leave. And so Coach Carroll, he had his own philosophy and where he just wanted to just play really good defense. We want to run the ball 25-plus times, manage the game. Russell outgrew that philosophy. That was fine when he was a rookie. He just handed the ball off to beast mode. But the man is a very elite quarterback. And so if he wants the ball in his hands, he wants to lead a franchise to a Super Bowl, by all means, I feel like he should have left.
So do you at all fault then Pete Carroll for not finding a way to give Russ what he wanted to keep him in Seattle?
That's another thing. Coach Carroll, with his philosophy, sometimes you got to adjust your philosophy, especially when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got to get out your way. And if you look back at 2020, go back and look at 20, Russell Wilson was putting up MVP numbers, right? Well, what's happened on the other side of the ball on defense, we couldn't hang because quarterbacks were putting up MVP numbers against us as well. And so Coach Carroll, for him being a defensive guy, that was hard for him to fathom, you know, people putting up 30-plus points on us. We were winning, but they was putting up a lot of points on us. He's like, hey, guys, let's change this game plan. Let's run the ball. Let's manage the clock a little better. And you saw Russell's numbers dropped. And so it's just unfortunate that those two guys couldn't get on the same page because they definitely had a special thing when Russell was there for those 10 years.
KJ Wright here with us. How do you remember Russell Wilson's time as a Seattle Seahawk?
That man's a legend in my eyes. Just being in the locker room with him, seeing him grow from a young rookie, coming in, taking Matt Flynn's job. And I tell anybody on each and every Sunday, I trust that man. I believe that Russell Wilson will get the win. There's no matter what kind of situation we're in, how many points we're down by, the man is the absolute winner, and he has the heart of a champion. And so I love that man. He's forever my guy. And it's just unfortunate that that moment happened in Seattle, but they're going to forget it. You know, they're going to move on, have his jersey retired. But the man is definitely a legend in my eyes.
Was that weird for you last night, KJ Wright, watching Russ on the Broncos sideline?
Well, first of all, it was weird for me being in the stands.
Right.
Just being on the sideline pregame, I felt the juices like, oh, my God, I need to be out here. This is my first game as a retired player on the sideline. And so I didn't feel comfortable at all. And so just seeing Russell over there and that orange and, you know, his swag hasn't changed. He's the same dude. It was definitely weird, man, because you look at guys like him, guys like Bobby, you just feel like those guys, even though they played there 10 years, their time in Seattle should not have ended that soon. And so it was definitely strange seeing that.
So now since you're in this uncharted territory of just being a fan at the game, did you boo Russell Wilson last night?
No, I didn't. I wasn't cheering for him. You get that correct. I was not cheering for him, but I definitely wasn't booing him. And I got to experience it from a fan's perspective. Like, my heart was beating out of my chest. Like, I was, when that last drive, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I was obviously rooting for Seattle, and so I can definitely see how fans feel during the game. It's not comfortable, but, you know, it was a really cool experience, and I'm glad I was there last night.
So defensively, they did a good job. The turnovers were big. What stood out to you defensively with Seattle last night?
I knew that the defense is going to have to carry the load. I believe that this is going to be a top 10 defense. It sucked, got hurt because he's the X factor of that team. He is the guy that was going to make that whole thing go. And so I'm really interested to see how they replace him, the game plan going forward, because they gave up a lot of draft picks for that guy. Paid him
Adams,
a lot of
yeah.
money, and he's out once again in Jamal Adams. And so I'm going to see how they go for it. I love the corners. They did a great job, two young guys on the outside. And so those guys just getting started, and they got to keep it going.
What do you think the Seahawks are going to be this year? Because I know it's one game. I know it's a heck of a performance last night. I'm not a believer in this team this season.
I believe, this is what I said earlier. I'm saying eight to nine wins. I believe that's a really good year for those guys. How many games you got them getting?
I was thinking like 6 or 5 before the start of the season. They already got one more than I thought, though, because I didn't think they had a chance in the game last night. And I usually never say a team doesn't have any chance, but I thought for sure Russ was going to go back and kick the crap out of Seattle.
No. I got them guys getting 8 wins. I truly believe that what we saw last night is how the season is going to look for these next 16 games. Hey, create turnovers on defense. Hey, Geno. Be smart with the football. Get the ball to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Let's be smart. The running game has got to get better. I believe that this philosophy that Coach Carroll has stood the test of time. Be smart with the football. Create turnovers. At the end of the game, let's find a way to win. And so 8 to 9 wins on the borderline of making the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to get in, but on the borderline of making the playoffs, I think the Seahawks got a chance.
What do you think of that division? Because it's crazy. After all the changes in the NFL this offseason, I know it's only 1 week, but the other three teams of the division lost, and the Seahawks are somehow in first place.
It is the Los Angeles Rams, and it's everybody else. I believe the Rams are clearly going to be number one in that division. But you look at the Niners and Trey Lance, I'm not a believer. You look at Kyler Murray, the man looks – he doesn't look good. And so I believe that it's going to be clearly the Rams, and it's going to be a battle for that second spot. And so the Seahawks, they got off to a fantastic start. They got the Niners this week, and so it's going to be a really, really big game. And they got to be able to expose Trey Lance once again, just like the Bears did.
What do you not? What don't you like about Trey Lance that already you say you're not a believer, KJ Wright?
Well, first of all, I didn't like the move by the Giants. What are you thinking? And Jimmy Garoppolo, first of all, you shouldn't have made him second string. But if you're not going to have him first string, then get rid of him. No, how are you going to have your starting quarterback in Trey Lance with this guy over his back shoulder? That is not comfortable for anybody. He's a guy that's a proven winner. He's been to the NFC Championship twice. You need to just get him out the building if you want to go with Trey Lance. And so it's just frustrating, this whole situation. And I don't believe that he's comfortable even playing as the number one guy, because he knows in the back of his teammates' head, if he doesn't succeed, they're going to be calling for Jimmy G to get back out there, lead them back to the playoffs. So super uncomfortable position for him, and I'm interested to see how it all plays out.
Well, in the locker room, that's what's the most fascinating part of this decision, because you have Garoppolo there. Shanahan and Lynch have to be loyal to Trey Lance because they just gave up a king's ransom to go get him. But if some of your players, your big-time players, a few weeks in, and they just lost to the Bears, which I was stunned by, if they start saying, let's go to Jimmy G, that could be really ugly in that locker room.
And that's what it's looked like it's going to be. He has about 1 to 2 more games to get this thing right, because this is a championship-caliber team. But the quarterback is the most important position. And so if he struggles in the next two or three games, it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo in there. Now, I understand they gave up all the draft picks for him, but players do not care about that. This is my 2022 season. I want to win. I want the best players out there. So they're going to have to make that decision.
How do you break down? I know you were with the Raiders last year. How do you break down the AFC West this season?
Well, first of all, the Raiders game. I got those guys. I had those guys winning the division, but they looked terrible on Sunday. I'm looking at Derek Carr. I need Derek Carr to move. He's back there looking like a statue. He needs to get his legs going. The man can run. Get your legs going. Get the ball to Devontae Adams more. Hunter Renfrow did not have enough targets. They were just force-feeding Devontae Adams the whole time. That's not going to lead to a successful offense. Get the ball all over the place. Get the run game going. I was looking forward to Chandler Jones and Max Crosby making noise. They were quiet, and so it's just the first game. But these guys are a really good, talented football team, and they got to pick this thing up.
Yeah, my concern, I think that the Raiders are going to be a playoff team. I picked the Chargers to win the division, the Chiefs also to get in the postseason. My concern with the Raiders, though, is that offensive line.
Offensive line was not good, and you saw Leatherwood, one of the first-round picks, got up out of there. And so with McDaniels, you know, if your offensive line is struggling, find ways to not expose those guys. Get the play-action game going. You may have to max protect a little bit more. And so you have tons of weapons. You have Darren Waller, who you just paid, tons of weapons on that offense. But the offensive line is a concern, and so find a way to be smart, keep the chains going to protect Derek Carr back there.
Take me what it's like, and we're going to see these two teams play on Thursday, what it's like to prepare for Patrick Mahomes and then also Justin Herbert.
Patrick Mahomes is hands down the hardest quarterback I ever had to face when it comes to the type of plays they run. It's essentially like backyard football. They don't have tendencies you can pick up on as a defensive player. And Travis Kelce does his own thing. Patrick Mahomes just starts scrambling and just chunking deep to Tyreek Hill. It is frustrating playing those guys. They put up 40-plus points on us last year when I was with the Raiders. And so when I'm looking at the Chargers, you have got to do a good job. First of all, this offense is going to go to Travis Kelce. Find a way to limit him. He's going to get at least 10 targets a game. Limit him, and the pass rush have got to be smart with Patrick Mahomes, because if he gets out of the pocket, it could easily be 6 points. And I'm on Justin Herbert. He's elite as well. And so Keenan Allen has gone down. So I'm really looking forward to Austin Eckler getting going this game because he was way too quiet on Sunday.
Last thing I'll ask you, I just want to go back to the whole Russell Wilson situation. I saw that Richard Sherman was pretty happy with the results last night. Are your former teammates annoyed at Russell Wilson that he's no longer in Seattle? They kind of understand it's a business.
They understand it's a business. And I said this a while ago. I felt like, unfortunately, during my tenure in Seattle, we let the media divide us as a team. We knew that Marshawn and the defense had a lot of success in our wins, but nobody was – a lot of the attention went to Russell. And it just became something that was unnecessary drama in the locker room. I don't know why that happened, but Russell is good. The Legion of Boom was good. Marshawn Lynch was good. So who really cares where the attention goes? And so that's just something that we had to overcome in Seattle. But at the end of the day, it's all love. But I just wish that when we were there that we didn't let that media attention, you know, divide us as a locker room.
Oh, let's be real. With how that Super Bowl ended up against the Patriots, unfortunately, that was the end for that run in Seattle.
That was it, right? That was it. We knew that once that moment happened, this is over. We can no longer look at each other the same. A lot of trust issues are going on in this building. Why didn't you check the call to a run? Why did you call a pass? There's so many questions that were unanswered, and we knew that it was over after that.
Always love catching up with you, KJ Wright. Thanks so much, and once again, congratulations to you and your family. It was pretty cool last night seeing you get honored.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace, offering everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. Extensive options, ease of selection, and flexibility at your fingertips help make sure your time is wonderfully spent. Viator is the place to go to book experiences that will create long-lasting moments that make lifetime memories. And Viator has over 300,000 bookable experiences to choose from in over 190 countries. In fact, just last year, Viator helped my family put together this amazing adventure on the island of Kona, swimming with the manta rays, trying to avoid the barracudas, whatever your wildest dreams. If you can imagine it, Viator probably has an experience just for you. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in Viator's world of wonderful experiences. Viator, one site, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember.